Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. And more than that, Lord, that by the actions of Christ on the cross, he's given us the authority over all powers on earth and in the heavens. And so right now in Jesus' name, we take authority over any spirit that would seek to blind or to cause confusion or to distract us today. And we say, your work is nullified in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, for the way you are here to guide us, to show us the way forward, to reveal truth in our hearts and minds. And I ask, Lord, that the words that I speak would be words that come from you and not from me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our illustrious senior pastor's words, I'm buttering him up, did you notice? Fasten your safety belts. Today we're going to look at the subject overcoming opposition. About 2,000 years ago, war was declared. And until today, there's been no peace treaty signed. There's been no ceasefire attempted to whilst attempting to negotiate bringing that war to an end. And that war is the war between God's army, you and me, and Satan and his army. And suddenly it's very quiet. Now, Afrikaam Shlopi has said this, as long as the devil is oppressing people, we need to be the opposing force against this oppression. And isn't that true? Well, thank you. There's at least one person who says so. Because Satan's goal is to distract us enough so that we take our eyes off Jesus, and he wants us to stop actively serving in God's army. And when we do that, he succeeded in preventing us from passing on, from passionately sharing the good news of God's love and power and kindness. And so you see, there's a constant battle that is taking place between evil and spiteful spiritual beings who wish to keep the world in total darkness and to And that battle is between them and God's children who are spreading the light of God's love and good news. This was recorded in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. However, instead of us standing firm to overcome this evil attack, perhaps we're sitting there and saying, well, you know, I'll be neutral. I'll raise the Switzerland flag. I'm not going to take sides. I'm not going to get involved in conflict. I'll do anything for peace and for my comfort. And if this is our approach, then we need to seriously question our salvation. We need to doubt if we're really following Christ. Because we are called to be soldiers in his army. not to sit and keep chairs warm. You see, we are called to be overcomers. Because if we are not overcoming evil, we are advancing Satan's cause. There's nothing in between. And unfortunately, it's because of the desire that we have for comfort that we sit back. And so we see this ongoing spread of anti-biblical values throughout society. We're not standing against all the unrighteousness that is taking place and saying, no, Satan, it stops here. And we're helping Satan instead to achieve his goal of keeping people separated from God. And so sentencing them to spiritual death for eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Why don't they understand? Because we bring the light and understanding of God's love to others. We are God's representatives. But there is some good news. You know, when Christ died for our sins, Satan was disarmed and defeated. And there was a song that said, he has no arms and no feet. Right? And he roars like a lion trying to distract us in Colossians 2:15 and 1 Peter 5:8. The one eternally destructive weapon that he had, the weapon where he could accuse people before God of their sin so that they, like him, were also condemned, that weapon was taken away from him. It was ripped from him when Jesus died on the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, when Jesus died, Satan's accusations were overcome by the power of Jesus' blood. And now Satan's only weapon is to distract God's children. And he uses conflict and opposition as some of the tools to distract us. But we know this good news, that despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us in Romans 8:37. Hallelujah. As we read through the scriptures, there's one thing that we notice very clearly, especially as we read through the Gospels, and that is that Jesus experienced opposition throughout his life. You see, as he announced and demonstrated the kingdom of God is at hand, he experienced at least three types of opposition. Firstly, the Bible says he experienced institutional opposition. And in Luke chapter 6, 11, we read that the religious leaders grew angry. The New Living Translation says they were wild with rage. They grew angry with Jesus, and they began to plot how to kill him. Why? Because he healed a man with a deformed hand on the Sabbath. Those same religious leaders went further and said that he was being controlled by the power of Satan, because they were trying to explain why Jesus was casting out demons in Mark chapter 3, verse 22. Now, here's some good news. Right, you can elbow the person next to you if you're feeling brave. We encourage everyone to heal the sick and to announce the kingdom of God, to pray for people. And we won't get angry. None of the leaders will be angry with you for doing it. You can be a blessing to others. The second type of opposition that he was experiencing is he experienced opposition from people. Jesus' own family failed to understand his ministry. And when his family, because Mark 3:21 says, when his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. Vescopis too. Right? They tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. Do you know, one of Jesus' closest friends, Peter, who in verse 16 was saying, you are the Christ, the exalted, the Son of the living God. And in verse 22, he says, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him. That word reprimand means to scold, to rebuke, to warn him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, get away from me, Satan. Ouch. I've never had a friend say that to me. Yet. You see, Peter had been convinced by Satan to try and turn Jesus from his message. And of course, we cannot forget that Judas betrayed him. He opposed Jesus. And in verses 14 to 16 of Matthew 26, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? You know, when I read that, my heart was heavy within me. Because I just wondered, how far must you go to betray a close friend? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Was that all that the friendship was worth? You see, Satan uses people to spread lies and to create conflict about us just to keep us from our mission. Our mission of bringing light to other people. He will do anything he can to rob us of our joy, the joy we have in Jesus. And when we allow people's behavior and opinions to distract us from our mission, then Satan is winning the battle. And then thirdly, Jesus experienced internal opposition. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed, he says to his closest disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He knew what was coming. And out of this emotional pain, he prays and he cries out to his Father, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. And yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And Father hears his prayer. And in response to the anguish in the prayer, Father sends an angel from heaven that appears and strengthens him in verse 43. So we've seen that Jesus experiences institutional, personal, and internal opposition as he was announcing and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Just some examples of the methods Satan can use to attack us as we live in a Christ-centered way. And Peter says it like this. In 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil." You notice he doesn't talk about political parties. He says, "Your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion." And you would remember a little bit earlier we said that he'd been disarmed and defeated, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Now, here's the thing that I know. A roaring lion is not something to be feared because it's just noise. If he's got no feet and he's got no arms, he can't chase me down. You know, Jesus never promises us a comfortable life. But he does promise us power and strength to overcome opposition, peace to overcome anxiety, the assurance of knowing that he has everything under control. He came to bring us back into right relationship with the Father so we could spend eternity in God's presence. And he successfully accomplished his mission. So what is it that we ought to do when we experience opposition? Will our response be to step back into the safety of powerless living? Or will we overcome opposition and live in our Christ-given victory? We have a choice. It's either one or the other. Now, the truth is that everybody experiences opposition differently. And so I cannot describe what type of opposition you're going to go through. All I can do is share with you some of the opposition that I've gone through. And my experience is that when I begin to tell others what God has been doing in my life, when I begin to pray for people to be healed or to meet with God, then I know that there is a cost to be paid. The very first thing that I experience opposition is when there's turmoil in my thoughts. And generally, this starts off with the fear that God will not listen to me. You know, I look at the greatness of his creation, at how wonderful the universe is, at how incredibly varied his creation is. And I'm overcome with the realization that I'm such a small, sin-filled speck. And I begin to doubt that God would pay attention to me. And at that time, I begin to remind myself that the scriptures say, be brave, be bold, be full of courage. As God's child, you are chosen to show his goodness to others. In Joshua 1 verse 9 and in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You see, the one truth that I've learned over time is that God's word overcomes opposition. And then I become overwhelmingly aware of my own sinfulness. And I feel so unworthy and so condemned. And this has a paralyzing effect on me. I feel that I don't deserve to pray for anyone. I'm just not worthy enough. Now, I know nobody feels like that. But the Bible says, I have been redeemed in Ephesians 1 verse 7. Jesus has paid the full and complete price for my sinfulness. He has made me righteous in Titus 3 verse 7. And then God, just to make sure I understand, reminds me, my grace is all you need. And it breaks my heart. And the next part of opposition that I experience is I start to think, what will I say? And I go blank. I don't have any words, let alone the right words to pray. And I know that at this point, I need to take a risk. We heard from Ron about faith equals risk, right? I know at this point, I have to take a risk. And I need to be trusting God's word and start to say something. Because the Bible says, when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment you need them. Amen. And so what I do is I choose to be thankful. And I start off my prayer, thank you, Lord, for the way you love this person. Thank you for the way you're working in their life. And then I risk by speaking out the thoughts that come to my mind. And God hasn't let me down yet. You see, I've realized that the enemy uses these tactics on me, trying to distract me from my mission, but also trying to keep me from advancing God's kingdom on earth. He doesn't want me to tell others about God's goodness. He wants to keep people blind and not understanding God's love for them. He's got no feelings for them. Our mission is to tell the truth. And so break Satan's hold. Because over time, I have learned that Satan wants me to focus on my weakness and not focus on God's love and power and might. And so what I have to do is knowing that I have to take captive every thought, making it obedient to Christ, says 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. And allow the Holy Spirit to transform my life, making me more like Christ every day. And it starts with the renewing of my mind as I read and learn and memorize God's word from Romans 12 verse 2. So far today we've seen how Jesus experienced opposition. So what do we do to overcome that opposition? You've heard what I do, but what can we all do? So let's look at how we overcome opposition. And the very first thing I want to suggest is we memorize this verse. Right? You know how to memorize a verse? We repeat it often. So despite all these things, all opposition, all the lies and distraction and conflict of the enemy, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours, says Romans 8:37. And we repeat it. Romans 8:37 says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours, says Romans 8:37. Come on, say it with me. Romans 8:37. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours, says Romans 8:37. You keep on repeating it. You memorize it. Let it become a foundation, a standpoint where we can stand firm against the attack of the enemy. And once we've memorized the scripture, then we focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3 says, we must focus on Jesus. He's the source and the goal of our faith because he saw the joy ahead of him. So he endured death on the cross. He ignored the disgrace it brought him. And then he received the highest position in heaven, the one next to the throne of God. So think about Jesus, who endured opposition. See, Jesus kept his focus on his Father. He kept his focus on his mission. He did not allow opposition to distract him. Because that's his goal. He works constantly trying to distract us, to confuse us, to distort the truth for us. He wants you and me to forget our identity in Christ. He wants us to forget that we've been chosen, each one of us. We've been called by God for a mission. The Bible says we are his chosen people. Instead, what Satan does is he wants us to be reacting to what he is doing and not making advancing God's kingdom our goal in life. The Bible says that when we surrender to God and resist the devil, he will run. And so, with our focus on Jesus, we continue fulfilling our God-given purpose and mission, and we overcome Satan's strategy of distraction. The second key is realizing that there's a spiritual dimension to opposition. And so, we stand against, we resist the devil through prayer. We ask God for protection and we declare that by God's grace, we have the victory. And this comes through Jesus' completed work on the cross. Ephesians reminds us to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers. We also overcome opposition with Scripture. So as we learn Scripture, as we begin to realize that Satan is the one who's bringing opposition against us, we use Scripture against him. And we remember that in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led out into the wilderness after his baptism, he experienced opposition from the enemy, from Satan. And his answer every single time was to quote Scripture. Three times, Jesus repeated the truth of God's word against the lies of the enemy. And so we learn to use the Scriptures against the lies of the enemy who comes against us. And so when the devil whispers in your mind that you will never succeed, that you will fail at whatever you're doing, that you cannot pray for the sick to be healed because who are you to do it? We speak out God's promise. And God's promise is, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And when we realize that I can do everything through Christ, we also realize that we can give everything that we have, all of ourselves. Because opposition wears us down. Opposition that is constant gets us to the place where life becomes overwhelming. And it's when we're at our weakest, when the attacks from people have hurt so much that we don't know if we can get out of bed in the morning. It's at that point that we discover that God's grace is all we need. That His power is strongest when we're at our weakest. And through the little that we can do, He can make a huge impact on the people we come across. You see, I've learned this, that when we stop trying to do it ourselves and we cry out to God for help, I have this imagination that says He's sitting there and He goes, "At last. Now I can do something," He says. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, each time He said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." And Paul reminds us, when I am weak, then I am strong. So when the opposition is coming, God's grace is all I need. When I'm feeling weak and I give all of myself, the little that I have left, and then I get to watch God's incredible power impact the lives of everybody around us. Remember the boy who had 2 loaves and 5 fishes? How many people did God impact through that guy who gave it all? Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people. And when that happens, then my faith and my trust in God is confirmed and it's encouraged, and I'm more prepared to risk the next time. So those were some points on how to successfully overcome opposition. And we do this when we focus on Jesus. That when we memorize and we speak out God's word, when we pray defensively and offensively, in other words, we take part in spiritual warfare, and we give of ourselves. And this morning, I pray that you learn something. Amen.